my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, wrestling fans. Thanks so much for tuning into my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. This is episode 87. And if you have a minute after you're done listening to this, head over to iTunes and rate and review. Let us know what you think of this show and the other previous 86 episodes. Today, we are talking WWE Draft because, of course, coming up, if you're listening to this Monday morning as the show drops, Tuesday night on SmackDown, the live SmackDown, the first official live SmackDown for the new launch of the show, the draft will be featured. And Chad and I today have decided to, we'll each have our own show, and we're going to pick the 10 superstars that we want on our show. Chad, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, and I put on social media and on, and I thought about it kind of late as we're recording this Saturday afternoon. I thought about it almost last minute. So I posted something on Facebook and I posted something on Instagram at my 1-2-3 cents for both of those, by the way, and as well as Twitter. But I also did it on my Snapchat, and I actually got more response on Snapchat, but not a lot, of who should run Raw and who should run SmackDown, speaking between me and you for the purposes of this podcast. And it was a split vote. So I don't care either way. You tell me what show you want, and we'll begin our drafting process.
Hold on just a second. Let me grab.
Are we getting a late minute entry here?
We're going to do this the old fashioned, most fair way. I have a quarter. I'm going to flip it. You'll have to take my word on it.
Okay. I trust you.
Call it in the air and call.
Heads.
It is heads. So I will let you take Raw and have the first pick.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Well, thank you. As the Raw general, are we general managers or are we commissioners?
Well, I think right there we can start off. and let's have this little debate right now. Last Monday on Raw, Vince McMahon, they hyped it up that he was going to make this big announcement of who was running. The last 15 minutes of Raw were McMahon circle jerk interview segment that didn't need to take that long and didn't need to be the main event of the show. You know, and he placed Shane in charge of SmackDown, Stephanie in charge of Raw, and then said, oh, next week, now you're going to get to make your picks for general managers. Why do we need so many people in control? Just give Shane and Stephanie the shows, let them go behind the scenes and run things, and let's get out of the... I mean, we have said this for probably 87 episodes. The authority figure is so played out in today's wrestling landscape that... if they're going to do the split and do a whole new thing, come up with whole new formats for the show.
Right. And there's not going to be much debate because we agree on this. And I think part of it, though, is because there are rumors, and if you don't want to hear the speculation, fast forward for the next probably 2 or 3 minutes. There's rumors that Triple H and Daniel Bryan will be the respective general managers. And I could see... You know, back in the day when they brought Roddy Piper in or Gorilla Monsoon in or Mick Foley in to be the GM, Shawn Michaels, when he was injured, it's a way to get a guy who the fans still want to see on TV when they can't necessarily wrestle anymore. And it gives them more of a purpose instead of, you know, because, I mean, think back when we were kids. I mean, could you imagine when Freddie Blassie or Mr. Fuji stopped wrestling? Then they became the president of WWE or WWF at the time, and then, you know, Mr. Fuji coming out every week on Superstars and making matches. I mean, that wouldn't have worked. And I don't know why they don't employ the tactic of making some of these guys, you know, Ric Flair as a manager or I think even Daniel Bryan, I don't know. I could see him doing commentary. I could see him doing something else other than being an authority figure, because I agree with you. The role of the authority figure across the board, not just WWE, but across the board in general, has been overplayed for the last probably 20 years since McMahon hit lightning with it back, you know, in the mid to late 90s.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, right now, Daniel Bryan is doing commentary on the Cruiserweight Classic show, which I thought he did an outstanding job. So, yeah, keep him there. I've also heard speculation that Stephanie may name Eric Bischoff as Raw GM, and apparently he's been pulled off of an independent appearance on Sunday night, or tomorrow night, as we record this on Saturday. So, I don't know, but there doesn't need to be someone out there every week taking up promo time, coming out and turning, you know, matches into tag team matches all the time. It's just, I know we're not going to get rid of it just by us saying get rid of it. So I guess as fans, we have to accept it. But man, I really wish someone in WWE land would step up and speak up and, you know, just say, look, we've been using the same playbook now for 17 years. Ratings are down, which I know WWE says, well, ratings are down all across television, which there is some truth to that. But at the same time, your ratings are down because your shows are repetitive. You have to shake it up. I mean, you know, they caught lightning in the bottle with the Attitude Era, with, you know, letting Austin going off script, basically, and creating Austin 316, The Rock going live. It amazes me that they're so controlling in every aspect that it kind of hinders the chance to have another breakout moment or breakout period, in my opinion.
Yeah, and hopefully
that's another discussion.
Right? Yeah, we'll get on to a show with that in the near future. We're going to do our draft picks and just kind of a backstory. I know WWE has said everybody's up for grabs. Chad and I have decided we're going to keep tag teams as tag teams, or some of these smaller factions as factions. For example, the Wyatt family would be drafted as the entire Wyatt family, or the New Day would be all three members of the New Day, or the Social Outcast. I think there's just three members of the Social Outcast now. So we're keeping everybody together. And I didn't ask you this either, but right now, as we record this, there is one WWE heavyweight champion, and we don't know yet. I don't think they've made any official announcement about that. I guess we'll find out Tuesday night whether there will be a second champion or if there'll be one champion defending on both shows. Have you heard or do you know any more about that, Chad?
I don't know what their plan is, but I mean, we've said this before, I think on the last podcast that I was on or in blog form. It's, to me, you have two separate shows. You want to make them unique. You have two different champions. If you're going to, and especially, I believe they're going to be adding shows to the network, like alternate pay-per-views. So I would give each show their own champion, just because in my world, these shows have nothing to do with each other. And I think that's the other part that needs to be put into play here is SmackDown needs its own set, its own staging, its own lighting, its own look, its own feel. And the shows need to be actually competitive with each other, and by doing so you need different products, so you need different champions.
Well said. Okay, creating their own competition, let's see if they can do it. And we're going to go ahead now, since I guess I won the coin toss as the Raw general manager. My first draft pick is going to be the WWE heavyweight champion Dean Ambrose, and for obvious reason I like Dean. He was my favorite of the three Shield members. I think he is a breath of fresh air in terms of the personality, the character. He is kind of a throwback to Rowdy Roddy Piper and Stone Cold Steve Austin, kind of wrapped him up into one. I don't like the Lunatic Fringe nickname, but the character works for me. And now that he's champion, and time will tell if he's going to hold on to the belt, but he is my first draft pick.
Okay, a little shocking. I'll get to that later. He's
next, unless you take him now.
I almost want to just mess with you. My first pick, I'm going with AJ Styles. I think he is the guy that SmackDown could be built around, and next. He could be that champion that SmackDown needs.
Okay, well, I guess so I can grab him before Chad does. Neville is going to be my number two draft pick for many reasons, but, you know, I think that he's – I know that he's back from his injury. I think he worked a dark match at SmackDown. And I'm hoping that – and if I were running the show, I would certainly have him in some sort of contention for the secondary championship, whatever one that ends up being on Raw. So Neville is my second pick.
All right. Hey, well, and speaking of secondary championships, my second pick is going to be Rusev, who I think will be – I think the U.S. title – and maybe I'm looking at this as SmackDown being kind of the WCW version of WWE, and I think the U.S. title belongs on that show. So I'm going with Rusev.
Okay. My third pick is going to be The New Day. They, of course, are the tag team champions right now. Many reasons why to have them. They are still over as hell and a great marketing tool. Getting the merchandising tool is what I meant to say, not marketing. And, you know, I like all three guys.
Okay. Well, since I've kind of gone heel heavy for my first two picks, my next one I'm going to go with Cesaro. I think he's one that easily could feud with Rusev over the U.S. title or... You know, I think by the end of next year, should be world champion.
Good pick. And I guess since I'm going to have the Intercontinental title on my show, I might as well have the champion to go along with it. So my fourth pick is going to be The Miz. And do I get Maurice with him? Is that a package deal?
Yeah, that's a package deal.
All right. I take Miz and Maurice as my fourth pick.
All right. Let's see. I think... let's see, so many. Do I go with Big Show, Baron Corbin?
You want Randy Orton, don't you?
Do I go with Randy? He's making his return on in a talk show segment on the next pay-per-view. It's going to be awesome. I think I'm going to go with... I'm going to go Sami Zayn. I guess. For no other reason than I like Sami Zayn.
All right. My fifth pick, I am going to go with the current women's champion, Charlotte. Even if she wasn't the champion right now, I would have probably picked her first just because I feel like she is going to be in for the long haul and kind of be a foundation in the women's division.
All right. I'm going to go with a shocking pick here.
The Shockmaster?
I wish. I'm actually, and this is total fantasy booking, but as we kind of discussed before we started recording, I'm going to pick the Ascension, but I would split them up as two different people and give them new gimmicks. Okay. I think they need, I'm not high on them, but I think if you get them out of the current gimmick, I think there might be something there.
I like that idea. I do think that tag team needs an overhauling of some kind. You know, I kind of feel guilty that I haven't picked him sooner or that he hasn't been picked sooner. The face of the company, John Cena, is my number six draft pick for obvious reasons.
Yeah, you know, I think Cena will be an actual high draft pick in the actual WWE role, or draft, but I think he's at that point now where he's getting too many outside offers. He's not going to be around as much, so I don't know if that's a guy you want to build your company around, but you can have him. And I am going to take I'm going to take Seth Rollins. I'm waffling on a couple other guys, but I think Seth, I think one to keep him away from Dean.
Okay.
And let them, you know, kind of establish themselves without having that shield, that shield lingering in the background type fan I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, I get what you're saying. I was going to give you a couple of chances here, but you didn't take them, so I'm going to take them now and kind of go with what you just said about breaking up the Shield feuding thing. And I'm going to take Kevin Owens as my number seven pick. Although I love the feud and the chemistry he has with Sami Zayn, it may be time for these guys to focus on other guys and other title opportunities. And I would definitely have Kevin Owens in the hunt. If not for the World Heavyweight Championship, the secondary title, at least in the interim.
Yeah, and I had been debating on taking Owens, but I think, much like we just discussed, I think keeping him away from Zayn right now, only having them have interactions on the four major shows, I think will help extend that feud, which can carry on probably their entire WWE careers.
So now when you say four major shows, are you thinking that the WWE will still have WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series as interpromotional pay-per-views?
I think so. I mean, it makes sense because obviously Royal Rumble, you're going to need 30 guys for the Rumble match itself.
Uh-huh.
So you put both guys in there. WrestleMania, you're not going to, you know, give one show the shaft at your biggest show. SummerSlam being the WrestleMania of the summer.
Yeah.
Same thing. And the Survivor Series, you know, it makes sense to have a Raw versus SmackDown elimination match or a couple of them, depending on.
So that being said, too, obviously the Royal Rumble, you'll have a mix of guys from both shows in the match itself. Now, at WrestleMania, do you just do Raw versus Raw and SmackDown versus SmackDown, or would you have... for example, like you said, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, if they're on our respective shows, would they face each other potentially at WrestleMania?
I think, you know, in the past they did do, I think, one Raw versus SmackDown type match. I believe, what was it in Orlando?
It was Umaga versus Batista.
Batista, yeah. So, yeah, you could, I guess it depends on what stories you're telling.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have something specific for or somebody that you want to get on the show, then an easy interpromotional match would be the way to go.
Okay. You are up to number seven, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, and let me also say one more thing, just so people know, because people are probably screaming at their listening devices saying, why haven't they picked anyone from NXT? WWE is likely going to be bringing back former superstars. They're likely going to raid the NXT roster, but until we were kind of... went with the idea of just the current roster. We know there are many other picks that could be out there, fantasy picks, whatnot, but just for the purpose of this, we decided to keep it just to Raw and SmackDown.
Yes. I am. Okay, so for my number seven, I'm going with a guy who, thanks to the brand extension before, got a run with the title, and I think he's been overlooked since then, and I think he still has... usage. I'm going with Jack Swagger.
Ah, interesting pick. Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely has kind of gotten lost in the shuffle, as they say. I am going to go number eight for me. I'm going to go ahead and go, because I have them written down and I haven't done anything with them yet, and go with the Wyatt family.
Okay.
I really, and since the New Day is here too, you know, we can have one more match down on the compound, I guess, or something along those lines. But no, I'm going with the Wyatt family for my number eight pick.
All right. Well, and since you have the tag team titles, I've kind of stayed away from tag teams because I don't know if they're going to make another set of tag team titles, you know, through both shows. But I'm going to do kind of like I did with the Ascension, and I'm going to pick the Usos, but I would then split them up because I think the Usos as a team has, you know, they were gone for the majority of last year. And then within 2 months, I was tired of them being back. And I think maybe if you separate them and give them distinct personalities, you can, something to them.
Let's sidetrack and talk a little bit because we have time to do that.
Yeah.
When you do something like that with the Usos, I'm just trying to think of other tag teams that they've split like that. And I mean, obviously, you almost invariably not every time, but you end up with a, you know, it's become a famous thing.
Sean and Marty.
What's that?
A Sean and a Marty.
Yeah, you end up with a Jannetty and a Michaels, and I guess you don't necessarily have to do that, but how do you decide, especially with a brother tag team, because I think they split the Hardys up, and that worked, I think, for both of those guys, especially, I mean, now they're still continuing.
Brother Nero.
Yeah. We couldn't pass up a Brother Nero reference in the show, but, you know, how do you repackage these two? I'm just curious what your ideas would be to redo these guys.
Well, one, I think I would make Jay a stockbroker. And Jimmy, I think he would be like, I would give him Ivan Putski's gimmick.
Look, you stop. God. I need the shirt.
I don't know, but I think they need to be freshened up. And I think that's a problem with, really, with there only being one giant company now, is guys stay with WWE for, you know, much longer time than they would have when WCW was around, when the territories were around. And then they become guys become stale. It's kind of like the Dolph Ziggler syndrome. If they bounce around the mid card for multiple years, if you don't do something new with them, I mean, Kofi Kingston is another prime example. Before the New Day, did anybody? I mean, he had fans, but was anybody really excited about Kofi Kingston?
Mm-hmm.
But then he gets with the New Day, he kind of changes, you know, changes his look, changes attitude. And it's a freshening up that I think doesn't happen enough.
That makes sense. I mean, I like the tag team wrestling, obviously, and I just think back to when we had, you know, Demolition and the Hart Foundation and the British Bulldogs, the Rockers, all those guys, and how, like, I couldn't see them at the time splitting up Demolition and repackaging them, although I guess they really did when they finally had Crush go as, you know, Kona Crush, and Smash became the Repo Man. So, I mean, I guess you could, it's possible. You can repackage and come up with different
Repo
gimmicks
Man
for these guys.
Demolition?
What's that?
Repo Man was a member of Demolition?
Yes, I hate to break that to you.
Next thing you're going to tell me is Payne Stewart was Demolition as well.
Maybe Crush or Khrushchev? Yes, indeed. Okay, so you just took the Usos as number eight. My number nine, since I, you know, going on with the tag team logic, I'm going to pick Enzo and Big Cass. I would not obviously split these two up. I like them as a tag team. Although I could see, you know, down the road, and this is not a shot at the size of Enzo by any means, I could see him as kind of that loudmouth manager type. With Big Cass, you know, he talks the crap and then Big Cass backs it up in the ring. But for the time being, I like these two as a unit, as a tag team. And I think they kind of offer something, although their shtick gets a little repetitive. But I think the good thing about the split now will be, instead of seeing the same guys on Mondays and on Tuesdays, you're going to see them just once a week and then on your pay-per-views.
Yeah, and there is video, I don't know if you've seen it, floating around from this week, Enzo backstage at the Cruiserweight Classic. And I think he's asked about the draft, and then he just starts ranting about politics. And it is for, I don't know if it's completely off the cuff or, you know, if it was something that was planned out ahead, but if there's anybody who actually has doubts of Enzo's mic skills, look at this video. We'll post it on the Facebook page, so it's probably already there by the time you listen to this. It is pretty amazing. And I think Enzo, as you said, Enzo has that ability, once he has his next five concussions, the way he keeps wrestling, to become, I think, would be a wise managerial candidate. And it's something else that is lacking in today's wrestling.
Absolutely.
Anyway, for my ninth pick, I'm looking at three guys. I don't don't know which one I want to take. Because I picked him a few years ago in our future breakout stars, I'm going with Apollo Crews.
Okay.
I still think he's missing something, and I think it's part of that character development, but I think Apollo does have a bright future in WWE.
It's fun. I'm on the WWE's website going through the list, and he's actually staring right back at me right now. So I had him. If we were going beyond 10, I would have definitely picked him up as well. But for my 10th, since I have Charlotte, got to have some competition for her. So I am going with the current number one contender in Sasha Banks. I debated between her and Becky Lynch, who, you know, obviously those three women, when they were brought up, and kind of kicked off the Divas Revolution last year, set the world of women's wrestling on fire. And I think that there's still a long way to go with that. But I think, you know, these two will tell a good story in the weeks to come leading up to SummerSlam. Are they facing off? I haven't even looked at the updated Battleground card.
No, they are. It's going to be Charlotte and Dana versus Sasha and a mystery partner.
Okay. Okay.
So speculation there is that it's going to be Bayley, but most likely it's probably going to either be Paige or
God. Alicia Fox. Yeah. And speaking of Battleground, we're not neglecting Battleground in this podcast. We're going to actually do a Facebook Live over at the facebook.com/my123cents page. Stay tuned for that. Probably going to try to do that Wednesday or Thursday of this week, and just kind of run down the event and look ahead to, and we'll know more about the event itself because SmackDown Live will have been done as well. And I am excited because I'm going to have USA Network once again on my cable provider, so I'm excited about that, and I'll be more in the loop on these kinds of things.
All right. Yeah, and again, because you took Charlotte, I've kind of stayed away from picking women just because I...
You think that the women's titles should stay on one, or the women should stay on one show?
Well, according to the WWE's website, there are 13 female competitors right now. That is enough, I think, that if you split them across two brands, given how they only get one, maybe two matches a week, you could do two divisions. But, I mean, that's including, and this is no intended disrespect to these women, but I think these are women that the fans don't really buy into because they predate the women's revolution,
right?
And that's, you know, Alicia Fox, Eva Marie, Naomi, Nikki Bella, who is I believe coming back sometime soon, Summer Rae, Tamina. You know, I don't know if there's enough.
So do you think there'd be enough to sustain two divisions, or would you just keep them on one show?
I think I would keep them on one.
Yeah, I agree with you right now, because unless they bring in Oksa and Bayley and Nia Jax, from NXT, I mean, there's... But then you don't want to pluck everyone off the NXT roster either and then diminish that show.
Right, and that's something else we were discussing earlier, that while we expect NXT to get a lot of call-ups, I think right now NXT is at a rebuilding phase, and they have to be cautious of not completely depleting their star power in NXT, especially with, you know, you got TakeOver Brooklyn coming up. It's not like you can just plug in 10 new guys. And still, right now they have Samoa Joe as champion, Asuka as women's champion, the Revivals, Jordan and Gable just won the tag team titles again, I believe.
Okay.
So you've got some talent, but then once you get beyond like that next, maybe that first challenger, the name recognition and the talent kind of drops off. So
yeah.
I think they need to be cautious not to leave NXT too shorthanded.
Totally agree with that.
Since you have tag team and you have women's, my last pick, I'm going to go, and this, it's not that there aren't names that, I think right now I'm basing just on my own likability of guys. So there are plenty of people here that left that are talented and would be beneficial. But I'm surprised you didn't pick him earlier, especially this being your 5-year pro-versary.
I had him, but I felt like I needed Sasha on there. But
I guess because I have Rusev, I'm going with Zack Ryder just to keep that feud going for another month. And he's one too that I think will be could be the split could be beneficial to him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because you have some of these guys who have flirted with being, you know, main event or even upper mid card guys, and I would put Zach in that category when he won the U.S. title several years ago, and it seemed like they were kind of getting behind him, and then they pulled back, and then, you know, they've kind of gone back and forth with him. Same with Jack Swagger, as you've picked him as one of your guys. I think that obviously some of these guys will get a rebirth of sorts. Darren Young right now, I guess, is kind of the flavor because he's taking on The Miz for the Intercontinental title. It'll be interesting to see if I don't suspect he's going to win, but we'll talk more about that on the Facebook Live. But, you know, it's kind of like Titus O'Neil. He kind of got that little push against Rusev, and then, you know, I'm curious and I'm optimistic. I'm going to stay optimistic about the draft in general because I think part of the problem with the current product is repetitiveness, as we've mentioned, and kind of getting repetitive about ourselves. But when you split it up and you're not seeing the same guys every Monday and now Tuesday night and giving us a break, so to speak, it'll be a good thing, I think, for everyone, including the fans.
And I am curious, too, as I mentioned earlier, if they can make both shows separate and then to see which show the fans, you know, flock to more, like which show does better. And I think when they did the original brand split, because SmackDown was still taped, I think that hurt SmackDown.
Yeah.
And now SmackDown being live, where it is kind of, you know, WWE is not necessarily must-see at this moment, but it is, by being live, it gives you that unpredictability. So you don't know going in what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be beneficial to SmackDown's, to getting people to watch SmackDown.
Yeah, as long as USA stays committed to having two live shows a week, yeah. And I think they are because I haven't looked at numbers, but I'm imagining that Raw continues to be, if it's not their top rated show, it's got to be in the top three or four. Yeah. It'll be a good thing, I think, for advertisers as well.
Yeah, and from what some tidbits that I've read, and again, disclaimer, it's on the internet, doesn't always make it true. USA was the ones pushing for the live SmackDown because I guess ratings have not been what they expected it to be, but they think that making it live will help increase ratings.
Do you think that they'll go to the 3-hour format for SmackDown too?
I hope not.
Right, I agree. I don't think they should either. But again, I think that because a lot of people criticize WWE for going 3 hours with Raw, but I think that was a USA decision too.
Yeah,
they've got inventory to sell, and I mean, if you know, you know, we kind of know the TV business, so you know, when it was more of forcing WWE's hand into doing that, but WWE I think could still tweak the formula that they do with the third hour of that show, but hopefully they will keep SmackDown at 2 hours, but I don't think they'll ever go back to the 2-hour formula for Raw, at least not in the immediate future.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
All right, well, we have our 10 superstars. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up things for episode 87?
Yeah, I would say I'm going to put you on the spot here since we didn't discuss this. Obviously, there's rumors that WWE is bringing back previous stars.
Uh-huh.
Tajiri and Brian Kendrick are both in the Cruiserweight Classic, and I believe both of them will probably stick around after that. Who would you like to see come back to WWE?
Okay, I know we did a blog about this a while back, and we kind of stipulated that we didn't pluck anyone that's currently under contract somewhere else. Is that still the rule in place?
No, let's do this one. Let's okay. Just open. Since I forgot that we did that blog.
Yeah. My first pick would be John Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he, you know, when he was there, I feel like he kind of suffered from the Dolph Ziggler disease.
Yeah.
where he's talented, he's got the look, but for whatever reason, he just could not take it to that next level. I thought that, you know, when he and Miz split up, I thought he would be the Shawn Michaels and not the Jannetty. And, you know, he kind of, not that he was like Marty Jannetty, but he definitely kind of floundered and got lost in the shuffle. So yeah. I'd bring John Morrison back for sure.
I wonder how much of that also had to do with Melina.
Yeah, and I keep her out of it. But yeah, I would definitely bring, he would be my first, what's it called? Free agent choice. Pick.
All right. I can see that. I'm trying to think.
I know you'd pick Cody Rhodes or Kurt Angle.
Yes. Kurt Angle and Goldberg are the two guys that I can't wait for them to show back up. I'm trying to think, and it's funny because I've gone through like old shows on the WWE Network. I'm trying to think of what guys have been there that haven't. Man, maybe I should have thought of this answer before I asked you the question.
I think you put yourself on the spot, brother.
Yeah. Because obviously I'm trying to think who can still wrestle, too. It's not just like, oh, bring back Coco Beware.
Right. Which, speaking of, did you see the clip of him on the ESPYs the other night?
I did not.
It's pretty – John Cena's opening monologue. I watched – I'm not a sports fan, obviously, but I watched just – to see what Cena did, and he did a good job. But anyway, he made a Coco Beware reference to one of the basketball players, and it was pretty funny.
Just because I'm going to tie this into what I'm about to say before we wrap up, I would say bring back Matt Hardy in the current broken Matt Hardy fashion. just because if we can get more Senior Benjamin on a larger to a larger audience and more fights at the Hardy compound, I'm all for it. And speaking of that, I've been meaning to write a blog, and I'm lazy and don't write, so I don't do it. But with SmackDown moving to Tuesday nights going live, Impact is moving to Thursday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. I don't know if you'll have Pop in your new cable.
Yeah, system. I don't know.
But I have to, you know, we have been very critical of TNA in the past. I have to give them credit. I think since moving to Pop, TNA is doing probably some of the best television that they've done in quite some time. And I think it's part of it is getting rid of some of the getting rid of certain talent that had kind of not been dragging the show down, but just, again, that staleness, whereas now they've kind of refreshed their lineup and they seem to have a focus. And so everything has been building, and I have to give, you know, Drew Galloway credit. He has really stepped up his game. Ethan Carter III went from being that guy that was excited to get his picture taken with us at Access in Miami, I believe.
Yeah.
To now actually being a guy that I would actually there's a guy, Ethan Carter III. I would like to see him back in WWE to get a bigger audience to showcase his talent.
Yeah, he really has evolved.
And even, I don't know what it is, but over the last month, Bobby Lashley has gotten to where I am entertained by watching him. And I've never, when he was in WWE, when he first came into TNA, I was just like, get this guy off my TV. He does nothing, you know, for me. But now, he's really stepped up his game. I'm still not crazy about. I mean, there's still aspects of TNA that I'm not fond of. Mike Bennett still hasn't won me over. The fact that Davey Richards still has a job, just I don't get that one. But if you haven't checked out TNA lately, go in with an open mind. And even the Hardy stuff, which is as insane as it is, it's somewhat entertaining. But I get that it's not for everybody, but yeah, TNA, give them check them out again, and maybe give them 2 or 3 weeks. Don't just watch one show, and because if you watch one show, it's probably going to be the worst one since I recommended it to you. But yeah, TNA is doing really well right now. So hats off to them. Hopefully, they stay in business.
That's a big endorsement. All right, coming from Chad. Like I said, folks, be sure to tune in. I haven't picked a day yet because I'm not sure what my schedule looks like this week. But Wednesday or Thursday of this week, we'll do a Facebook Live to discuss the upcoming Battleground pay-per-view and whatever else is happening in the world of WWE, wrestling, sports, entertainment, and probably have an update on the whole Brock Lesnar situation with UFC as well. We're keeping an eye on that one for you, too. So thanks for watching, listening, sharing, and go ahead and rate and review over on iTunes as well. Have a great day and enjoy the upcoming draft.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.